Obituary.
Shirley Conran, the author who declared that life is too short to stuff a mushroom, died on May 9th, aged 91.
Did it excite her? That was what people always wanted to know. They meant sexually, of course, though they didn't dare to use that word. Did it excite her to write sex scenes? They all seemed to think that she was panting over her keyboard. Certainly Dame Shirley Conran wrote a lot about sex, and she did dare to use the word sexual, and indeed panting, not to mention gasping, throbbing, and writhing. But she didn't find it arousing. She was too busy concentrating on her spelling. People always asked her about sex. Afterwards, when Lace, her most famous book, had become an international bestseller and a TV series and the word bonkbuster had entered the dictionary, people started treating her as an authority. When 50 Shades of Grey came out, they asked her if she liked it. Not much, was the answer. It was 200 pages before there was any proper sex, 100 before the heroine even got whacked on the bottom by a hairbrush. But it did make its author, E.L. James, an awful lot of money, which she liked. She loved to see any woman making money. Money, not sex, was what mattered to her in the end. Money and improving women's lives. Everything she wrote to help women. She wrote the feminist manifesto, Superwoman, to help women cope with housework, because life is too short to stuff a mushroom. She wrote money stuff to help them cope with finances, because life is too short to be short of money. And she wrote Lace to help schoolgirls better understand sex, because life was certainly too short for bad sex. People used to see her as a stockings and suspenders sort of writer. In truth, she was a blue stocking one. Her damehood was awarded for services to mathematics education. Her own education had been appalling. At 15, she'd been sent to finishing school in Switzerland, which gave her social finish and perfect diction. She always pronounced sexual as sexual, but also finished off any prospects of a proper job. When, aged 19, her angry alcoholic father kicked her out of the house, she realized that she was completely unqualified for anything. After 2 months, she had collapsed from malnutrition. Chastened, her mother started to slip her a few pounds a week, which didn't pay for much, so she lived on leeks. Soon she had lost enough weight to work as a model and then use the money to go to art school in Chelsea. She would always retain a certain fondness for leeks. It was there that she met her husband, Terence Conran, who later became a designer, who advocated such avant-garde things as minimalist wood and metal chairs, using test tubes as spice racks, and putting single-stem flowers in vases. At first, she thought he was gay. Quite a lot of people thought Terence was gay. In fact, he was not at all gay. The affair started quickly. Suspecting the secretary, Shirley gave her some fancy Roger et Gallet carnation soap for Christmas. If Terence returned smelling of it, that would be proof. He did. It was. They divorced. She shared that one with women too. Top tip, to catch a philanderer. The day she got divorced was the day she realized the importance of money. She was 30 years old, with no job, no money, and 2 children. She started to work as a journalist, then she started to write books. First, Superwoman, then, a few years later, Lace. She hadn't planned to write a bonkbuster, she had planned to write a sexual manual for schoolgirls. Girls were being swamped by sex in those days, but it was all controlled by men. The publishers, editors, and filmmakers, all men. It was so bewildering for girls. Their ignorance was abysmal. What went where? What should it feel like? Should they save up for a Brazilian? Or was that a cake? To prepare, she did 18 months of research, but then she got bored by it, and by women's fantasies. So many British women seemed to be ravished by a schoolmaster in a cornfield. She was a Virgo, far too practical for that sort of thing. Imagine all those bits sticking in your bum. She also had another very practical thought. She realized that schoolgirls would never read a clinically correct, irreproachable book about sex that adults felt they should read, so she decided to write a clinically correct, highly reproachable book that they shouldn't. Lace was born. It was an instant international bestseller, smuggled around schools like contraband in brown paper bags. Throbbing was the least of it. There was also that infamous scene with the olive oil, which, ever the homemaker, she observed, made an awful mess of the sheets, and an even more infamous scene with a goldfish. The only thing she didn't get in was the word masturbate. Her editor felt the world wasn't ready for it. She had to use a euphemism instead. That, she felt, was the last taboo. She did get away with other things, though. She gave one of her heroines a husband called Toby. Toby was an avant-garde architect who liked minimalist metal chairs, single-stem flowers in chemistry beakers, and putting on stocking suspenders and lipstick. In the afterword, she noted that Terence had paid a lawyer to read the whole book to see if she had libelled him. What struck her was less his suspicion than his commission. Imagine being paid to read Lace for 10 hours. Nice work, if you can get it. She always noticed people's jobs. In truth, as readers would later point out, the real pornography in Lace was not sexual, but professional. It is a book that ogles offices, that thrills to the sight of women sitting in meetings, or popping their notebooks into their Gucci handbags, or strolling round a French chateau that they have decorated with their own money and skill. Things were changing for women and for her. After Lace became a bestseller, she bought her own 10th-century chateau and took to travelling by Concorde. And when the 30th anniversary edition came out, they even let her have that word in it. It was so nice to have the proper verb. The world, she felt, was getting better for women. Now, that did excite her.